Now, for those of you little kids here, I think it's kind of important that you know something about the person who tells the stories first. Okay, when I was little, which wasn't for very long, because most of the time I was large, even when I was born. But when I was young, there was only a few books in the house that I grew up in, and they were all tales of fairy tales and magic and things like that. And so ever since then, these have been some of my favorite stories. And so there's a couple that I'm going to read to you that I think you'll like. And those who are sitting up here will get to see the pictures. And those who are sitting up there will let you see the pictures later. Okay. Now this one is called... Okay, we'll show them to you, Sean, when we turn the book over, okay? Okay. Now, you have to know what trolls are first.
All right, guys. Whatever the names
are, the good trolls guys. Are large, wicked creatures, and this first story will tell you a little bit about what they look like. And here you can see a picture.
No, brother.
They're ugly things, aren't they?
Yeah, they're awful.
Okay, I got them.
Now, if they should get a hold of you, do you know what would happen? That would be it for you.
Yeah, just like the trolls in The Hobbit.
It wouldn't even be any hope at all.
No, unless Gandalf came
by. They'd just take Nicole and that's it.
Take Nicole, she wouldn't even be a mouthful for
them. But there are other little creatures in here that are good, like Tomptus. Those are very small.
Like dwarves.
Those much smaller, about this big.
Squished together would be a mouthful.
Yeah.
Squish.
Tom, you forgot Tom.
But Tomptus don't eat people. So you don't have to worry about those.
No.
But this story is called The Boy and the Trolls, or The Adventure. And it talks about going into the woods by yourself, so you have to listen close.
I'm supposed to do that.
Okay? Once there was a clever and lively boy who wanted an adventure, so he took the shortest possible cut to adventure right through the deep forest. Hello, he called. Hello, where can I find an adventure? It's boring at home and nothing ever happens. Well, except that the good queen died and all the country mourned. The king and the princess cried and the people cried. But then the princess got a stepmother and now it is she who rules. Everybody thinks she's a witch, but nobody knows for sure. And the boy wandered deeper and deeper into the forest. Hello, he called. Where can I find an adventure? Mother gave me 7 sandwiches when I started out, but now there are only 2 left. Won't an adventure come soon? It grew late in the day, and the boy trudged even deeper into the dark forest. Adventure, he called. Come on, adventure. There's nothing but sadness and sorrow at home. A few days ago, the princess disappeared. She was picking flowers in the meadow, and suddenly she was gone. Some people believe that the queen bewitched her and spirited her away, so that her own daughter might be the princess of the realm, but nobody knows for sure. Dusk was falling by then, and the boy had eaten his last sandwich. He was tired from his walk and sat down on a stone to think. There was a rustle among the twigs and the leaves, but he was not afraid. He was waiting for the adventure he had gone out to seek. Then a troll came lumbering by with a sack on his back. It was the big brother troll, the oldest of the 3 brothers. He was as ugly as sin, and the ugliest part was his long, hairy ears that dragged on the ground. Clap, clop, clap, clop, the troll panted as he walked along. Good morning, Uncle, the boy greeted him. The troll stopped, flapping his ears, and squinted at the boy. My, a dwarf, he said. I'm not a dwarf, I'm a boy. My, what a boy, such ugly little ears you have. Look at mine. These are what I call ears. How could the princess turn me down when I have such beautiful ears? What ugly little ears you have. I like what I have, said the boy. What do you have in your sack? This sack is full of silver I've been collecting, and in addition, I have a delicious snake for the princess to nibble on. Which princess is that? Do you think I'd tell you? The troll flapped his ears and looked slyly at the boy. I could change you into a black crow if I wanted to, but I suppose you'll just have to stay as ugly as you are. If you see my brothers, tell them I've gone home to the mountain. Goodbye. Goodbye, Uncle, said the boy. The troll left the boy sitting by himself on the stone. Now the twigs and leaves rustled and crackled, but he was not afraid. Another troll came plodding past with a sack on his back. It was the middle-sized troll. He was as ugly as sin, and the ugliest part of him was his warty chin, so long it almost touched the ground. Clap, clop, clap, clop, he panted as he walked along. Good evening, Uncle, said the boy. What? A little Tomta, said the troll. He put his chin to the ground and squinted his eyes. I am not a Tomta, I am a boy. A boy, said the troll. What an ugly little chin you have. Look at mine. It is fine and well shaped. How could the princess turn me down when I have such a beautiful chin? Now yours is what I call an ugly chin. I'm content with what I have, but what do you have in your sack? This sack is full of gold that I have been collecting, and in addition, I have a fine green frog for the princess to nibble on. Which princess is that? Do you think I'd tell you? Said the troll, squinting his eyes cunningly. Have you seen my big brother? Yes, indeed. He asked me to tell you that he had gone home to the mountain. Then I must hurry, said the middle-sized troll. If I had time, I would change you into a crow, but I'm afraid you will have to stay as ugly as you are. The troll lumbered on, leaving the boy sitting by himself on the stone. The leaves and twigs rustled and crackled again. A third troll appeared with a sack on his back. It was the littlest troll. He, too, was ugly as sin, and the ugliest part of him was his long, blotchy nose. Claps, 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 he panted as he walked along. Good evening, uncle, said the boy. What a little hobgoblin, said the troll, sniffing with his long nose. I'm not a hobgoblin, I'm a boy. A boy indeed, said the troll. What an ugly little nose you have. Look at mine. That's how a nose should look. The princess couldn't turn me down with such a beautiful nose. That is an awful little nose you have. I'm content with what I have, said the boy. What do you have in the sack? This sack is full of precious stones that I've been collecting. And in addition, I have a juicy fat toad for the princess to nibble on. Which princess is that? Do you think I'd tell you, replied the troll, squinting slyly. Have you seen my brothers? Yes, indeed, answered the boy. They asked me to tell you that they have gone home to the mountain. Well, then I must hurry, said little brother troll. A pity it's so late, or I would change you into a magpie. But you will have to stay as ugly as you are, and so this troll, too, clumped off. Adventure, thought the boy. It's beginning, and if I follow the trolls, I will probably find more of it. So he crept after them as carefully as he could. My, how the twigs and leaves rustled, but the boy was not afraid. The troll's castle was on a gray mountain in the very midst of the forest, and a princess was being held prisoner in one of its chambers. It was the same beautiful little princess who had disappeared while picking flowers in the meadow. The chamber opened onto a balcony that had stairs leading up to it. High up on the wall was a single small window through which a star twinkled. The princess sat on a couch of soft moss, which seemed hard enough to one accustomed to sitting on silk and eiderdown. In front of her was a table laden with food: dragon blood pudding, mud soup with frog's legs, roasted bat's ears, and porridge made of poisonous black henbane. The princess could eat none of this, of course, and would not even touch it. She did not dare to speak out loud, but whispered to the star over and over, "When are the elves coming? Are the elves coming soon?" Yes, they were. Now a whole flock of elves flew through the narrow window and kissed the princess on her eyes and cheeks. They had brought her fruit and berries to eat as much as she wanted. Then they floated away, taking the terrible troll food with them. Now the hinges of the chamber door squeaked, and old Mother Troll scurried into the room. She was uglier than you can imagine, for she had ears as long as the big troll's, a chin like the middle-sized troll's, and a nose like the little troll. "Oh," she said, "fresh air! I have to hold my nose. Why can't you close the shutters or else come to my room? The air there is wonderful. The shutters haven't been opened for 1,000 years. "I like to look at the stars," said the princess. She did not dare say that 1,000-year-old air made her choke, for that was something Mother Troll did not like to hear. "Looking at the stars!" exclaimed the troll mother. "What foolishness! What is there to see? My room is full of silver and gold and precious stones. They shine more brightly than any star." "Did you like your meal?" she continued, looking at all the empty dishes. She fluttered about the room, laughing raucously. She did not know that the elves had brought the princess berries and carried off the troll food. Suddenly there was a bang on the door. "That sounds like my big son," said the troll mother, and went to open the door. The big troll entered, said good evening, and put down his sack. "Here, princess, I brought you something to nibble," he said, holding up the snake. There was another knock on the door. "That sounds like my middle son," said the troll mother, and went to open the door. The middle-sized troll entered, said good evening, and put down his sack. "Here, princess, I brought you something to nibble," he said, holding up the frog. There was a third knock on the door. "That sounds like my little son," said the troll mother, and went to open it. And the littlest brother troll entered and said good evening and put down his sack. "Here, princess, I brought you something good to nibble." And he held up the toad. The princess had to say thank you and accept what they offered her. "The elves will be back soon," she thought. "They will come and take away these horrid snakes and frogs. I'd rather die than eat them." The troll mother was flying around the room, still laughing uproariously. "I'm so happy I'm in real troll spirits," she said. "Let's announce the engagement tonight. The princess is going to marry one of my sons. She can pick the one she wants, or perhaps she wants them all, but she can only have one." And she laughed so hard that she had to hold her sides. The troll brothers smiled broadly, believing that each one of them, that the princess would choose him. The princess herself felt afraid and sad. She had no friends near her. The elves were gone, and only the star twinkled in the sky. "Look at them," the troll mother urged. "Look at my sons. Handsomer trolls can't be found this side of the moon. But then, of course, they take after their mother. Look at them, little princes." But with tears in her eyes, the princess gazed at the star. No one could have been more unhappy, and she did not know how to escape. There she was, imprisoned among trolls in a castle on a mountain. Outside the small window, another troll was nodding at her. He looked a little like a boy, but the princess was sure he was a troll. "Well, which do you want?" continued the mother. "I don't care which one you pick, but choose well. They all know troll magic, and they are all of marriageable age. Little brother, who is the youngest, will be 947 years old next week, and with luck, they will all live thousands of years. Trolls have only one thing to fear."
"What's that?" said the big brother troll.
"Haven't I told you?" said his mother. "Well, it's high time you learned. There is a rhyme that can destroy us, and I always feel ill when I say it. Come, fresh winds, and blow away. Long ear, huge chin, big nose. Come, west wind, and sweep away all these trolls from Mountain Gray."
"Ugh!" said the troll mother. "It makes me feel sick. But I'll feel better soon. Don't be afraid, my sons. It doesn't work when just anybody says it."
"Who has to say it to make it dangerous?" said the middle-sized troll.
"Don't you know that either?" said the mother.
"When a boy who is not afraid of either darkness or trolls says it, then it is dangerous. But I have never met such a boy, and don't expect to either. And if you meet one, all you have to do is cast a spell on him and change him into something else before he has a chance to open his mouth."
"I met a boy in a forest this evening," said the big troll. "I did too," said the little brother. "And he was not afraid of trolls."
"Or darkness," said the middle-sized troll.
"You're frightening me," cried Mother, jumping about the room.
"Why didn't you cast a spell on him?"
"We were in a hurry," said the sons. "We wanted to come and see the princess."
"I feel ill," complained the troll mother, "but I hope it will pass. Of course, we have nothing to fear because that boy does not know the formula. Now I feel better." She laughed loudly again and moved around the room. "But we are forgetting the engagement," she continued. "Has the princess made up her mind yet?" But the princess was still looking at the star. Big tears rolled down her cheeks. She was the saddest princess in the world, with not a friend to turn to. Outside the window, the troll looked at her kindly and nodded in a friendly way. Indeed, it was strange how much he resembled the gatekeeper's son at the castle, with whom the princess had often played. Of course, she told herself, she was only dreaming. No one could save her now.
"Well, why don't you answer?" said the mother. "Are you asleep? I'll give you a little pinch to wake you up."
And she pinched the princess so hard on the arm that she had to scream aloud.
"Is the princess too shy to choose?" asked the mother. "Well, then I will make up her mind for her. She will marry my big son because he is the oldest. Will that do?"
"No," said the princess. "No, I won't marry any one of the ugly trolls. I want to go home. I don't want to eat snakes and frogs. I don't want to breathe thousand-year-old air."
"So?"
screamed the troll mother. Her face turned green with anger, and she spat out her words.
"Is that so? Well, you will never return home. My sister is queen of the castle now, and she is as powerful a troll as I. She sent you here, and she doesn't want you back. A troll child is going to be princess and inherit the realm. Ha ha ha! You will never go back. And now," she added, "you stay with me in my room. The air is lovely there, just right for a princess. Then you will marry my big son. But first you must learn some manners. You need a pinch or two and a taste of the switch I have here.
With that, she gripped the princess's arm hard and pulled her behind her. "Get to my chamber," she shouted. "You won't sit on soft moss there." At that moment, however, something unusual happened. A voice was heard from outside the window. It was an ordinary boy's voice, but the troll mother let go of the princess's arm at once, and she and the other trolls stood as still as if they had been turned to stone. "Come, fresh winds, and blow away, long ear, huge chin, big nose. Come, west wind, and sweep away all these trolls from Mountain Gray." And a fresh wind came and blew the door wide open. The troll mother and her big son, middle-sized son, and little son were whisked out so fast you could not tell where they went. Yet the wind never touched the little princess. A moment later, a boy stood at the door. It was the gatekeeper's son from the castle, the boy who had set out in search of adventure. He greeted the princess politely. "Don't be afraid, princess," he said. "The trolls are gone now and will never return. We can go back to the castle and take all the gold and silver and precious stones with us." "Thank you, dear boy," said the princess. "I have been so sad and frightened, and I thought you were a troll." The boy laughed loud and long, and when he stopped, he sighed and said, "At last, a real adventure!" He sounded so pleased. Back in the kingdom, in the palace and the city, everyone was astir, for the queen announced an end to the mourning of the old queen and the lost princess. That same day, all the realm would learn that there was to be a new princess. She was the new queen's daughter and the king's stepdaughter. The old king was sitting in a corner playing with his scepter and orb. Sorrow had weighed so heavily on him that he had become like a little child again. All the king now did was say, "Yes, yes," to everything the new queen suggested. It was she who really governed the kingdom. "The queen is a troll, the queen is a witch," the people thought. Yet no one knew for sure, and no one dared say so out loud. In a room in one of the royal chambers, the queen was helping her daughter to dress. All the ladies in waiting had left. "Shut the windows and door tightly and go," she told them, so they had not seen to it that all the doors and windows were well fastened, and then they went away. "Oh, how awful fresh air," observed the queen when she and her daughter were alone. "I feel quite ill, but soon everything will be different. Tomorrow I shall command everyone to nail all their windows shut. Then I will build a wall around the whole country so high that fresh winds can't get in. Now, my little troll girl," she concluded, "just once over with the sponge." "No," screamed her daughter. "No, I don't want to wash." "You won't have to soon, my sweet," said the queen. "Only this once. When I am proclaimed queen, you will never have to wash again. You will have all the sponges burned. We will put locks in all the wells. It's only people who have these silly notions about clean noses. Now behave. Don't scream so." But her daughter screamed all the more. You would have to be a troll child to understand. "Now it's done," said the queen. "You look the way people expect you to, although I must say I thought you looked much sweeter before." The troll girl was dressed in the princess's most beautiful gown. She was no prettier, however, for every silk and velvet will not do much for a troll. "Put some garlic and stinkhorn drops in your handkerchief," suggested the queen. "It will be good to have when you are out in the fresh air." Then the queen and her daughter walked onto the castle terrace where the ceremony was to take place. The king came too and sat on a throne next to the queen while the troll girl sat at their feet. Behind them were courtiers in lavish costumes and soldiers in shining swords and halberds. And behind the soldiers stood the common people of the realm, crowded together in their gayest clothes, since they were no longer allowed to wear mourning. Trumpets blared and flags and pennants were waving in the wind, yet none of the gaiety was real. The king looked gloomy and sat playing with his scepter and orb. The courtiers seemed afraid, and the soldiers had to try hard to stand up straight. On all sides, the people seemed disheartened and sorrowful. And so they were. They were still mourning for their good queen who had died and her beautiful daughter, the princess, who had disappeared. And they were mourning for their kind king who had become so childish. They were frightened of the new queen and her daughter, who would now be princess of the realm. "How ugly she is," they whispered. "She looks just like a troll child. And to think she will be our princess! And she and the queen are acting oddly. Look, they sit with their handkerchiefs pressed to their noses as if they were ill." The queen and her daughter were not ill, but they were suffering dreadfully from the fresh air, and if they had not put the garlic and stinkhorn drops in their handkerchiefs, they would not have been able to bear it. "I think we can begin now," the queen whispered to the king. "Yes, yes," said the king. And so the trumpeters blew once again, after which the queen rose and gave a speech. She spoke beautifully of the queen who had died. Large tears rolled down her cheeks, although no one believed they were genuine. She spoke of the lovely princess who had disappeared, and again her eyes were wet, but no one believed she meant it. Now, she said, the king was proclaiming her daughter princess, and she would inherit the realm. The queen would rule until the princess was old enough to govern. All this was as their king wished, she said, for he felt old and tired and longed for peace and quiet. She would be a good queen, she assured them. Indeed, she knew better than most what the king's subjects wanted. If only they would be willing and obedient, everything would go well. Any disobedience would be punished. When the queen had finished, the prime minister stepped forward and placed a crown on the daughter's head. Then he called for a cheer from the people, and he himself cheered as loudly as he could. Courtiers shouted hurrah because they didn't dare keep silent. Yet the king's subjects said nothing. Their hearts were too full of sorrow. There was another reason why they did not cheer. Something else had caught their attention. A long procession of wagons, each pulled by two horses, was rolling along the main highway toward the castle terrace. In the first wagon sat a little girl who looked very much like the lost princess, and next to her sat a very merry young boy. Had it not been so hard to believe, you would have said it was the son of the castle gatekeeper. Wagon after wagon followed, and out of every three wagons, one was loaded with silver, one with gold, and one with precious stones. The crowd, scarcely believing their eyes, made way for the procession. "Isn't that the real princess?" they whispered to each other. "Isn't that the gatekeeper's son? Do you see the silver, gold, and precious stones?" The gatekeeper and his wife were also watching the wagons pass. "Of course it's our son. Of course, it's the real princess," they said. The crowd began to cheer lustily and wave their hats in the air. They cheered and cheered. They were so happy. "Are they really cheering for me?" wondered the queen. "For me and the new princess?" Then she caught sight of the long procession, which had stopped at the main gate. Of all things, she thought, there sat the real princess, with her troll sister had imprisoned on the Grey Mountain. How had she ever come back? The queen's face turned green with rage. Then the gatekeeper's boy began to speak. "My king and all your people, good morning. I've brought back the princess, and I have had a real adventure. Hooray!" shouted the people. "The queen on the terrace," the boy went on, "is really a witch. She is sister to a troll in Grey Mountain, and her daughter is really a troll child." "Just as we had always thought," exclaimed the crowd. At that instant, something very strange happened. The old troll and her daughter suddenly looked different, or else people at last saw what they had not seen before. Both of them now had hairy ears, so long they almost touched the ground, and their chins and noses were so large and ugly it was enough to frighten you. They were fluttering about, flapping their ears like wings, and hissing through their teeth with rage. It was horrible. In his confusion, the king dropped his orb and scepter, and the courtiers yelled and hid under their chairs. The soldiers forgot their courage and prepared to run away, and the king's subjects huddled together in fear, hiding behind each other. The only one who was not afraid was the boy, who had gone out looking for adventure. He knew what to say, and he said it. "Come, fresh winds, and blow away, long ear, huge chin, big nose. Come, west wind, and sweep away all these trolls from Mountain Grey." Then a wind came rushing past and caught the trolls by their large ears, and in a twinkling they were gone. It happened so fast that no one knew where they went, but the wind did not touch anyone else, not the king or the princess or the boy or the courtiers or the soldiers. All around people cheered and laughed. The soldiers straight-backed once again presented arms, and the courtiers crept out from under the chairs and began to discuss the weather as if nothing had happened. The old king took his daughter in his arms and wept with joy. He seemed now to have regained his reason. The spell was broken. Now he would no longer sit playing idly with the scepter and orb. He kissed the princess on the forehead and embraced her again. Then he gave the boy a good hug, as indeed he deserved. "Long live the king," shouted the crowd. "Long live the princess. Long live the boy who went out looking for adventures." "Yes, it was a fine adventure," said the king so loudly and clearly that everyone could hear him. "It was a fine adventure, and a fine adventure deserves a fine ending. I can see that the princess feels the way I do. This boy shall have the princess's hand as his reward and inherit the realm after me. He is not afraid of trolls or darkness, and he likes fresh air and baths. I am sure he will make a fine king. The boy thanked him politely and did what he thought was most fitting. He kissed the king on the hand and the princess on the lips. I will be kind to you, little princess, he said. I will take care of you and protect you from trolls, and while I rule, you will always sit on eiderdown and silk. And so one adventure ended, and another began, just as it happens in life. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we could really off with this one.
There's one here that we read at Christmas time called The Trolls and the Youngest Tomta.
Oh boy.
That's a real good one. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
In a storehouse on a small farm at the edge of the woods lived three Tomtas, Tjarfa, Torgus, and Tjovik. They were only about 10 inches tall and were of an old Tomta family that had lived on the farm for more than 900 years. The farm had changed owners many times. Old people had gone away and new ones had come, but the Tomta family had faithfully remained, and the honor of being the Tomta who looked after the farm was passed on from father to son. Now it was Christmas Eve, and a feast was being held in the shed that was the storehouse. Old Grandfather Tomta, Tjarfa Jorkason, had his 500th birthday on Christmas Eve, so his birthday and Christmas were to be celebrated together this year. Grandfather Tjarfa was brisk and active despite his age and had recently handed down his authority to Torgus Tjarfsson, who was 300 years old and in the prime of life. The old one had retired and lived between a couple of flour barrels in a corner of the shed. The youngest Tomta, Tjovik Torgusson, was a boy of only 100 years. He did not even have a Tomta beard yet, and he scarcely reached his father's shoulders. The little shed was situated prettily between hilly pasture land with beautiful leafy trees and a dense dark forest. In the forest was steep, craggy Foxhall Mountain. Two trolls, Jumpa and Skimpa, lived there. Jumpa was troll king of the mountain, and Skimpa was his wife. They had lived there long before people came to the region, and they were 4,000 years old. The Tomtas and the trolls had always been bitter enemies. The trolls were large, strong, evil, and stupid. The Tomtas were as small as dolls, but kind and very intelligent. The trolls wanted to hurt the people on the farm, which is why the Tomtas hated them. They were always fighting. Sometimes the Tomtas won, sometimes the trolls. It could not be otherwise, since it was a battle between strength and intelligence. Be that as it may, a party was being held in the storehouse. All the Tomtas in the region had been invited, and they were all in high spirits. The storehouse was well stocked with apples, loaves of wort bread, ham and sausage, all spread out on a small table that was really an upturned sugar box. The farm people knew well what the Tomtas were careful with all things, never wasting so much as a spoonful of flour. Now, Grandfather, tell us the stories about Jumpa and Skimpa, said Tjovik, climbing up into the old Tomta's lap and stroking his long white beard. Well, my son, said the old Tomta happily, sit still and you shall hear how it used to be. All the Tomtas made themselves comfortable. Some lay on the floor, hands under their chins. Others sat and dangled their legs from anchovy tins. Old Tjarfa began. I will tell how it was 800 years ago when my grandfather, Tarja Torgusson, was in his prime, and of the things that happened up there on Foxhall Mountain. Christianity had not been introduced into the country, and the Christians had begun to build their church out there on the plain. The trolls would not stand for that, naturally, so every night they tore down what had been built up the day before. But the church was built, wasn't it? Said little Tjovik. It was indeed, and it was Grandfather Tarja who helped build it. You see, he filled a bag with ashes and climbed a tree growing on the mountain. When the trolls came out of the mountain at night to throw boulders at the church, he threw ashes in their eyes. And they could not see the church, cried the delighted Tomtas. They could not. You may imagine there was an outcry from the trolls who were throwing their boulders but never hitting the mark. Poor Jumpa, giggled the boy Tomta. And so the church was finished, continued old Tarja. The bishop blessed it, and after that the trolls could not damage it. But they were all the wilder in the forest. At that time, there were wolves and bears, and the trolls encouraged them to attack the farm animals. Grandfather always had to fly back and forth like a shuttlecock to help the farm folk. Did the trolls ever catch him? Asked Jovik. Oh, yes! Many times they took him into the mountain, but he always knew how to trick them and escape. Sometimes he came out sooty and scratched, but other times he brought out more gold than he could carry. Do the trolls have gold in the mountain? Asked Jovik, surprised. The other tomtas laughed until their beards shook. It's clear you are only a child, little Jovik, they said, or else you would know that Foxhall Mountain is full of rings and bracelets and other gold and jewels. Really? Exclaimed the boy gnome. Then shouldn't we go and get some of the treasure? The poor people around here need a few luxuries to brighten their lives. No, my little boy, said the father crossly. The gold you get from trolls is never a blessing. It causes pride, laziness, greed, strife, fighting, and hatred. My grandfather taught me this early, and for that reason my father and I and all the Tomtas here have left the mountain gold untouched. It must be hard to find, mused Teobik. Well, on a night like this, it's quite easy, replied the old grandfather. On Christmas Eve, the trolls bring out all their treasure to count it, and they are so eager and excited they don't see or hear a thing. But can anyone get into the mountain? Asked Jovik. On Christmas Eve, the mountain doors swing open by themselves, was the reply. But woe to anyone who is still there when the church bells ring for matins. Then... But woe to anyone who is still there when the church bells ring for matins. Then the trolls both see and hear, and you are trapped. Did your father ever have trouble with them, Grandfather? Jo Victoriason, I should say so. Once he was within a hair's breadth of losing his life. That time he rode an ox out of the mountain. What happened, Grandfather? Tell us, tell us. Well, you see, Skimpa had stolen the ox from the farm. My father was furious, of course, and he crept into the mountain. It was easy, for the troll woman had forgotten to shut the door. Yumpa was standing there with an axe raised over the head of the ox, ready to kill it. Well, father was bold. He climbed up on the ox's tail, pricked his back with a pin. The ox jumped. It knocked over Skimpa and Yumpa, and they fell to the floor with their feet in the air. Then the ox tore out of the mountain door with father on its back. The Tomtas laughed so hard the two of them fell off of the anchovy tree. And you, Grandfather, have you ever been inside the mountain? Many times, but I have never taken anything from the trolls except what they had stolen from our farm people. Once I barely escaped with my life. I lost my red tasseled cap and my wooden shoes and came home black as a chimney sweep. Why were you black, Grandfather? I had to go out by way of the chimney because all the doors were locked. My brother had the same bad luck a few years ago, said another Tomta. What happened to him? Jovik asked. He was trying to find a young shepherdess whom the trolls had carried away, and he was in the mountain when the cock crowed and all the doors shut with a bang. There was nothing for him to do but throw himself into the mountain spring and go underground with the stream. The brook that flows through the farm has its source in the mountain, you know. Poor man, he was soaked to the skin when he came home. The young Tomta listened to all this with great interest. He would very much have liked to snatch a bracelet or a golden chain from the trolls to give to Annalisa, the farmer's oldest daughter, who was soon to be married. She was good to everyone, and Teovik wished her the very best of fortune. The Tomtas sat and listened to old Tjarfa for a long time until at last they all became sleepy. Then the guests trooped away to their own storerooms. Grandfather fell asleep in an old mitten in a corner, and Torgus and Teovik lay down on a catskin between a couple of sugar boxes. But the young Tomta could not go to sleep. He was wondering how he could fetch Annalisa a treasure from the mountain. Just one. Surely there would be no harm in that. Surely it was only when you received too much gold that you became wicked. At last he sat up, put his cap on his head and his wooden shoes on his feet, picked up his little stick, and set out for the forest. The night was dark and silent. Not a star winked from heaven, and not a gleam of light shone from any of the cottage windows. Everything slept in a deep, quiet midnight sleep, and only the drawn-out howl of an ox could now and then be heard from the forest. The Tomte boy trotted along quickly. He was not afraid of the dark and did not care about the fox. When you have legs only 3 inches long, you can't go very fast. So although the little Tomte took 5 steps for every one a human would have taken, he did not make progress after all. In an hour, he was at the foot of Foxhall Mountain. My, how craggy and steep and high it rose. Not a glimmer of light to be seen from any of the mountain cracks and crevices. But from deep inside there came a tinkling, clanking sound as if someone was rattling and jingling gold and silver coins. Just you wait, said Teovik, and began to climb the mountain. It was still going. It was slow going, but he managed it somehow. Sometimes he slipped a little, and then he took a fresh hold and climbed higher and higher. Breathless and hot and sweaty, he climbed from crag to crag, rock to rock, swung himself up one ledge and another until he was halfway up the mountainside. An owl hooted from a nearby grove, but Teovik would not let himself be scared. He would climb until he found an opening. At last he saw faint light through a small crack in the rocks. He poked his little stick into the opening and twisted it. The door must have been well greased, for it opened slowly and soundlessly on its hinges. Now the little Tomte entered a vast hall with walls and a ceiling of rugged black stone. He saw the bones of big cattle and people there on the floor, and rusty weapons on the wall. It was dismal and gloomy. He walked on. He came to a second door, which seemed to be made of copper. It opened as easily as the first, and now Teovik stepped into another hall. Silver coins were heaped against the wall, but not a creature was in sight. Surely there is enough money here to buy a watch for a good farmer, he thought. But wait, what is that tinkling and jingling on the other side of the silver door? I wonder what they're doing in there. He padded silently to the silver door, opened it, and what did he see? There was an open chest in the middle of the floor, and beside it sat 2 terrible trolls, jingling and rattling gold coins, bracelets, pearls, and precious stones. They were so busy counting the treasure in their chest that they neither saw nor heard Teovik enter. On the far side of the wall was a well, where water rushed up from the rock and earth below. An old cracked wooden shoe was in the well, tied to the wall with a string to keep it from being washed away. Skimpa must have put that wooden shoe in the well to make the wood swell, Teovik said to himself. I could always sail away from here in that if the doors are closed. He approached the chest quietly and carefully. But it was so high that he could not reach the top. He stretched and stretched on tiptoe as far as he could, and then what do you think happened? Yumpa and Skimpa sneezed, both at the same time. My goodness, how it echoed through the mountain. The breeze was so strong that the little Tomte flew into the air like a feather and landed head first right in the middle of all the gold in the chest. It's all over now, thought Teovik, holding tightly to his stick to defend himself from the trolls. But those stupid trolls had not seen him. They kept counting and counting. Teovik looked around at all the gold and treasure. He picked out a chain just long enough to hang around someone's neck and tried to climb to the edge of the chest and jump to the floor. That was when all the church bells began to chime, calling the congregations to matins. Both trolls jumped up and stuck their fingers in the ears. The mountain doors were closed and locked, and the lid of the chest fell down on the gold and on the little Tomte boy. Poor Teovik sat there like a mouse in a mousetrap, but he was not one to lose courage easily. Now, if only I can trick the trolls into opening the chest again, I can get away. I'm sure of it, he thought, and he put his mouth to the keyhole and began to squeak like a mouse. There's a rat in the chest, cried the troll woman. Let it stay till next Christmas, for all I care, said the old man. It will gnaw a hole through the chest, the woman replied. You might be right, her husband admitted. And so they opened the chest again and saw the little Tomte sitting near the edge. My, what a funny-looking little rat, said the troll, and laughed until his belly shook.
What kind of snippet are you?
I am Teovic Torgus, an Atomta from the farm, Teovic answered fearlessly.
Oh, laughed the troll, and took Teovic between his thumb and forefinger. He will make a fine dessert after the Christmas ham. Have you a frying pan ready, Mother?
You can't fry me before I've washed the dirt off my fingers, said Teovic.
Just hold your tongue, warned the troll. You'll be washed all right, you can be sure of that.
And he put the boy on the brim of the well and poured water all over him. That won't do, Teovic cried. You had better get a scrub brush and some soap.
You're a fussy little man, grumbled the troll, but he loosened his grip and went to fetch a scrubbing brush.
Instantly the Tomta jumped into the wooden shoe, opened his knife, and cut off the string that anchored the shoe to the wall. Hi-ho, right away the wooden shoe began to follow the stream down the mountain wall. Yump and Skimpa howled loud enough to break your eardrums, but the little Tomta just waved his pointed red cap and said, Hooray! The rapids carried him and the wooden shoe down through an underground channel and out again into the brook that ran by the farm. There, Teovic jumped ashore and made his way home. But he had lost the golden chain. He had dropped it when the troll dashed water over him. It was a close thing whether Teovic would get a good thrashing from both his father and grandfather for his foolish adventure. But he escaped because he had never done anything wrong before. He had to promise never again to look for treasure, except for that which can be earned through honest work. And this is a promise he has never broken. That's plenty. Voice is going. All these Swedish fairy tales end with that. And they worked and were very good people for the rest of their days.
Weird.
Well, maybe I should tell Nicole one monkey bear story. Somebody has to have someone has to sit on my lap.
Okay, Nicole, get up there.
And then
you Nicole is showing
you. Come here, I'll tell you one. Do you know what monkey bears are?
Ow. What are you trying to do? Kill my leg?
Those monkey bears are those awful things that live out in the woods. They're about this big.
No.
Hairy all over.
Come on.
Their long arms that drag on the ground. And do you know what they eat?
People.
Children.
Really?
Little ones. Like that one or this one here or this maybe this one here, they like that.
It's like a little taller than them.
And you know what happens when the sun goes down? They come over to the edge of the trees and they look for little children.
Well, I'm afraid I'm in bed.
Yeah, same here.
That's right. Because if you wasn't, they come over. You know what? They come over to the trees there and they look at you.
And
then when you're
mouth.
Not looking, they grab you right there.
And I kick him in the mouth.
You're a little too small for that.
Oh, no. You know what they leave once they catch you? Some, maybe a couple pieces of hair. They eat everything. All the bones and everything.
Ooh.
They eat it all up.
Yuck. Disgusting.
Do they
smell like trolls?
But they know, yeah. Oh, they like boots especially.
Oh,
yeah. Well, at least they hit saltwater sandals.
But you know, they never get good little children because you know what happens when they grab them?
When
their fingers fall off. They just fall right
off. At least they don't like saltwater sandals.
You think so?
Yeah. They don't like saltwater sandals.
And probably at night, you know, they never come into houses, so you never have to worry once you're in bed. They hate houses.
Well, at least
because there's soap in houses, so they never come into them.
Yeah, because they might get sprayed with soap.
That's right. But sometimes they're known to appear on the edge of the legs like this and come up and get little children.
And your eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they come around this way, you see, they come over
they'll
like this.
They'll eat your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
They get plants
gas in there. Everything they
they're
do.
Naughty.
They sure get a lot of feelings.
Oh, they got burned. They would be dead.
They like that, though. They like that.
They will get
they're sure
dead.
To get fat.
They live under the ground, you know. They.
Black
they
trolls.
Come out. They come out and look at you. One of these. We'll go and look for some monkey bear nests.
I'd
not
in the mouth.
Yeah.